If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this evening to Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7. In just a moment, I want to talk a little bit with you about five principles that are given to us there for avoiding sexual immorality and many other sins. Good to be with you this evening. I'm glad that we have some time as we begin this week again to study from God's Word. It's good to have our young people here as well. And I hope that our study will be profitable and encouraging to all of us. A week ago yesterday, when the tornado came through Clarksville, I was not aware that the weather was that bad that day. That afternoon, I was walking through the family room there at the house, and Sherry had the weather on. And at that point, the storm had just left Dixon, and it was headed to Clarksville. And you're aware that our weather systems now are able to basically forecast those, and so they basically tell you the direction that it's headed and the speed. And we saw it come from Dixon, and then it said Woodlawn. About that time, I texted Linden to see if they were okay, and eventually later texted Seth. But we have these advanced weather systems, which are good. They let us know generally what is about to happen. Weather tends to follow patterns, and through radar and so forth, we have the ability to track those things, and we have the ability to see where they're going in the future with pretty good accuracy. And as it was getting close to Clarksville, I stepped outside and I could hear the tornado sirens going off. You know, when some of us were a lot younger, we didn't have those. They have those things now where those go off and it's letting us know that some bad weather is around. And so there's advanced warning. Okay, and that's a good thing. Our military has advanced warning systems. We have satellite and we have radar and we can track the enemy coming our way before they even get close to us. And so we have advanced warning systems. We actually have that also in the Bible. God sometimes tells us what has happened in the past. Sometimes He prophesies of what is going to happen in the future. And sometimes God tells us some things and gives us some advanced warnings based upon principles of life or patterns of life. And there are at least two books in the Old Testament that do that. The book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs. Those are two special books. Those two books, God is revealing His mind and His will, but it's based upon experiences that men and women have in this life. It's a little different. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes is different. It's not books of history where it's recording what's gone on in the past. It's not prophecy predicting the future. It's wisdom that men and women have based upon experiences in life. But it's not just an earthly wisdom, it's guided by God's Spirit, it's inspired wisdom, but it's things that happen to men and women in life that follow patterns. Just like we have general patterns of weather, we have general patterns of human behavior. And Ecclesiastes and Proverbs is much about this is what's going to happen because men and women have done this before. And in a sense then, the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes become like warning systems. They let us know that this is what is going to happen if such and such is being done. And that's a great thing. I'm glad that we have individuals that can let us know, can warn us about things. You might be driving down the road and there'll be some signs that have been put out to warn you about something ahead. You know, there's road construction ahead, or this lane is closed ahead. There's warning signs that are put up. We're glad so that we slow down and get ready for that. We're glad that the weather, we can tell in advance where that tornado is going, or if it's developing into a tornado, something along those lines. I'm sure you've had a number of people in your life from time to time who will let you know in advance that such and such is going to happen. Our doctors do that. They'll say, well, based upon your blood work or what your diet or this or that, this is probably what's going to happen. Sometimes a mechanic will say, well, you know, if you keep driving your vehicle in this condition, this is probably what's going to happen. It's just based on human experience, human wisdom, patterns of life. And we're glad that people tell us. Financial advisors will say things like that. They'll say, well, you know, in X number of years, you're either going to be well off or you're going to have a problem, whatever. It's based upon things that can be basically calculated. And we're glad that we have people like that in our lives. Business people, people that know their business and their work very well, they will say, look, I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you, such and such is probably going to happen. And that's good. We're glad that they do that. Your HVAC is probably going to go out, you know, based upon the noise that you're telling me, or this or that, this is about to go out. What is that based on? They're not prophets. They don't see the future. They don't have a little crystal ball. What is that based on? Just patterns of things that happen in life. And the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs is like that in many ways. This evening, we're going to focus on Proverbs chapter 7, and we're going to look at five principles to avoid sin. And the specific context here is sexual immorality, where the woman here is married, and so she would be committing adultery. We don't know if the man in this chapter is married or not, but this is involving sexual immorality. But we're not going to limit it this evening to sexual immorality. The things that are mentioned here this evening are to avoid any kind of sin, not just sexual immorality. If these particular proverbs are given by Solomon back in chapter 1 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, later in the books, some other individuals give their proverbs. But if these right here are given by Solomon, not only is he giving this by inspiration, but he's giving this by personal experience. Do you remember 1 Kings 11, all of the women that he had and the wives and the concubines? He's not only speaking from inspiration, but from personal experience. And when we read this chapter, we're going to learn five principles that come out where Solomon, or whoever this is speaking, is trying to give advanced warnings, as to how to avoid this particular kind of sin. And it's great that we have the book of Proverbs. I encourage reading the book of Proverbs on a regular basis in our lives today because so many things are covered in this book. Marriage and family and money and the tongue and sexual immorality and friends and anger and self-control. All kinds of things are covered. We would do well to read this book on a regular basis because it follows human patterns of behavior. It's letting us know in advance, this is what will happen if we're doing such and such. So let's read this evening Proverbs chapter 7. And let's learn five principles for avoiding not just sexual immorality, but any kind of sin. The devil is going to use these same things in our lives today. These five principles, what are they? Well, we're going to see this evening that the proverb writer says, number one, we need to rely upon God's word. If we will rely upon God's word, we can avoid sin. Number two, we don't need to flirt with sin. We don't need to see how close we can get to sin. That's a principle. You get close to fire, you're going to get burned. In fact, one of the Proverbs mentions that. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? That's just based upon practical experience. Carlin and I were burning some trash yesterday, and you get too close to that, you're going to get burnt. Okay? That's just common sense. You don't have to be a prophet to know that. Okay? So don't flirt with sin. Number three, beware of false advertising. The devil is going to make sin look attractive and good and fine. Don't buy into that. Number four, remember that God is always watching. There may be parents may not be around, and the teacher may not be around, and the elders may not be around, and the boss may not be around, or whoever, but sin is sin. And whether they're around or not, God always sees. And then last of all, we need to consider carefully the end of the road. And this is one place where the Proverbs, again, become a warning system for us. They're letting us know, if you keep heading down this road, not just sexual immorality, but anything, there's going to be something that awaits you down at the end of this road. What is that based on? What is that based on? Well, again, we do have a genre of scripture called prophecy, where God forecasts the future. That's not what's going on so much here in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. It's, we know what's going to be at the end of the road because we've experienced that ourselves. Solomon experienced that himself. So this warning system is based upon personal and practical experience. One of the greatest persons that does that in our lives is our parents. Our parents. My dad did that a lot. We would be doing some, he'd say, this is about to happen. How did he know that? He wasn't a prophet. He didn't have a crystal ball. He knew that because in his own life, when he did that very thing, that's what happened if you keep doing it. So mom and dad often are the ones who do this. We grow up with this all the time. And we would do well, regardless of our age, we would do well to listen to people that are older than us and wiser than us. And brethren, listen to me very carefully. This is very, very important. I have tried to pass on some things to younger people. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. This has happened to me just recently. I warned the person. I said to the person, this is going to happen. I'm telling you, and nope. And the very thing I warned about is now happening. We would do well to listen to those who are older and wiser. Not because we're prophets, but because we've seen it happen. And sometimes we've seen it happen in our own lives. I told young people some things. Literally, I did that very thing. And so, please listen. And even someone my age would do well to listen to someone older than I am, because they even have more experience than I do. That's what's going on here. Listen to the wise counsel, because this is going to happen. And here's how to avoid it. So let's look at our scripture this evening then. One other thought, and then we will continue. If you're taking notes, you'll want to make a note that there are four chapters in the book of Proverbs toward the beginning of this book that speak of this same topic. Here's how to avoid this sexual immorality. Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 7, in Proverbs chapter 9, and we will be referencing some of those this evening. These five principles are also found in these other chapters, 2, 5, 7, and 9. Okay, look at it. Proverbs chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. How can we avoid this sexual immorality or any sin? Thank you, Lord, for giving us the advanced warning. How can we do that? Well, number one, keep God's word in your life. Rely upon God's word. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Years ago, I did a lesson on that expression. It's literally the pupil of the eye. But it became the pupil, the little black dot in the middle of your eye. It became an expression of that which you focus on, that which you appreciate, that which you desire and love. And so it got changed to the apple of thine eye. What we focus on and appreciate. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tablet of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Look at verses 1 through 5. God's word will keep us from this sin. We find the same element in chapter 2, 5, and 9, where it begins with, keep my words, keep my commandments. Principle number 1, if we will always rely upon God's word, have it very closely in our lives, that will keep us from sinning. Jesus did that in the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, excuse me. It is written, it is written, it is written. Appeal to scripture. That's why our daily Bible reading is so important. That's why Bible classes and Bible-based sermons are so important. That's why meditating throughout the day on the Word of God is so important, because that's the very thing that is constantly flowing in us and through us, the words of Scripture, the principles and the concepts that keep me away from sin. You look at these statements, it's not a casual connection with God's word. Lay them up with you. Keep them the apple of your eye, what you focus on and desire. Bind them, write them on your heart. Not a Bible out here in my hands, but the words in my heart. So many people sin today because they don't have a close connection with the Word of God. They're not relying upon the Word of God. And then it's as if they're to be a close family member, a sister, verse 4, thy kinsman or thy kinswoman, verse 4, a close relationship. Principle number 1, have God's word closely in our hearts and minds. Rely upon it each and every day. Trust it. Know it. Apply it. Understand it. Obey it. It keeps us, verse 5, that it may keep you from the strange woman. Here's a principle right here. You want to stay away from sin? You keep God's word close in your life. And so the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word I have laid up in my heart, what? That I might not sin against thee. Very, very important. And it's also a reminder that our Bible here at Warfield Boulevard, what we do here in the building, is not purely academic. It's not just learning some things. We're to take it with us. It's to be in us when we walk out of this building and we walk into the classroom at school, or we walk into the workplace, or we go into the store somewhere or whatever. It is in us. It's not purely academic and theoretical and hypothetical and just some interesting stuff. It is a real life guide for us. And it will help us and keep us from sin. Let us have that in our lives. If you look at chapter 2, 5, and 9, it begins the same way. The principle is found there as well. Let's go on now and look at the second principle. The second principle that is laid down here, based upon wisdom, this is going to happen. I'm telling you, just like the tornado is coming, here's the direction, here's the path, here's the, at such and such community, it's going to be here at this time, and then this community, it's going to be this time, and this community, it's going to be at this time. I'm giving you a warning. What's the second thing that is said here? I'm going to give you some advance warning. Sin should not be flirted with. Don't toy with it. Don't play with it. Don't get up close to it and snuggle up close to it. You don't flirt with sin. Look at verse 5. God's word in our lives will keep us from the strange woman. Some versions say the adulterer. The strange woman in the book of Proverbs is the sexually unfaithful woman. That's why some versions have adulterer or adulteress. Sexually unfaithful. It's not strange in the sense of she's from a foreign land somewhere, but she's unfaithful. For at the window of my house I looked forth through the lattice, and I beheld among the simple ones. In the book of Proverbs, this is the person who's not thinking. Not simple in the sense of easy, but the person who's not thinking, someone who's not experienced, someone who's not wise in thinking. They're just sort of, you know, walking along. Well, there's an adulterer, and that can't be all that bad. They're just not thinking. And that's what the whole Proverbs are about. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 1 with me real quick, just turn back there. What's the whole purpose of the Proverbs? To help us to have advanced warning, to give prudence to the simple, verse 4, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 gives us all of the, to do this. That's what the Proverbs do. They give us advanced warning. And someone that doesn't have a lot of experience with things, it'll get you caught up to experience real quick if you read the book of Proverbs. And one thing I'm telling you is, you don't get close to sin. You don't walk near her. For I beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. Don't get near sin. And to this day, unfortunately, young women and older women do the very same thing at the same part of town all over the world. I wouldn't have known this because I didn't know what to look for. I'm like the simple one. Now, I'm pretty knowledgeable with regard to some things in our culture. But when I was in Ghana, I'm like the simple one. I don't know as much over there. Multiple times we passed in front of this place, many, many times. And after we'd done that many times, after several days, Benjamin said, by the way, that's where all the prostitutes hang out. And I'm like, well, I didn't know that. He said, oh, yeah. And he kind of gave some markers. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't guess I caught that. You literally have to go back and forth, right, to get to the church building. Still going on today. And still using the same tactics. And so, this is wisdom. But passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening of the day, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. Don't walk close to that. And yet that's what he did. So the principle comes out, don't flirt with sin. Don't see how close you can get to it. The same principle comes out in these other chapters. Run away. Joseph ran away. Genesis 39. You don't saddle up to sin. You don't see how close you can get to it. Well, I won't use actual profanity. I'll just use euphemisms. Okay? Or I won't actually inhale or something like that. You know, I'll get close to putting stuff in my body, but I won't do this. Don't do that. Flee youthful lusts, not just sexual immorality, but any lust that a young person might have. But my point with that is the word flee, run away. In 1 Corinthians. Flee fornication. Flee idolatry. You run away from things. You don't see how close you can get to things. So it's very important. I mentioned earlier Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 27. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can he walk upon hot coals and his feet not be scorched? That's a rhetorical question. The proverb writer knows the answer already. You're going to get close to something, you're going to get burned. So is he that goes to his neighbor's wife, whoso touches her shall not be unpunished. Run away. That's principle number 2. You don't flirt with that. You don't see how close you can get to it. Well, how close can I get to bad things in movies and music? And when I'm out on a date, how close can I get? You know, now I'm not going to cross the line to sexual immorality, but I'll just get as close as I can to it in the back of the car or wherever I'm at. Don't do that. Don't do that. I've known of people, maybe you've known of people, who looking back on that said, yeah, I actually did get into something that I wasn't supposed to do. And when you ask them about it, it was because they had gotten too close a few moments before. There's plenty of adults that'll tell you that. Yeah, I actually did end up in sin. Well, what happened? Well, I was flirting with it a few moments before. So principle number two, don't flirt. Run away. Stay away from that. You shouldn't be walking down there, especially in the nighttime. What in the world are you doing down on the street corner in the middle of the night? Really? What good can come out of that? Is what the proverb writer is basically saying. Stay away from that. Come with me now to chapter 7 and verse 10. The third principle that comes out here is beware of false advertising. This is very, very common today. You can pick out all kinds of bad and sinful and evil and wicked kinds of things today, and it's all advertised as being, well, this is awesome. It's good and great and flashing lights and smoke and mirrors and, whoa, we're all excited about it. But at the end of the day, it's sin. Do you realize that advertising business is millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars? Do you realize that much of our society is based upon the success of advertising something? Lots of money is spent on just simple products because everybody knows it's about the advertising. And advertising moguls and business individuals get paid big bucks. Big bucks. Whether it's just a Wendy's hamburger or cologne or whatever. You've got to get your product out there and you've got to do it in a way that will pull people in, not repulse people. There's an art to that. A lot of money is spent on that. And the devil does the same thing. Verse 10. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a wily heart. The attire of a harlot. Right there. Advertising. I'm going to wear something on my body that will get you to look at me and start getting interested in that. And a wily heart. She is clamorous and willful. Her feet abide not in her house. That's where she's supposed to be with her husband. She's not keeping herself for her husband. She's using herself for other men. She's not where she's supposed to be. Now she is in the streets, now in the broad places, and lies in wait at every corner. And she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face, she said unto him, sacrifices and peace offerings are with me. This day I have paid my vows. I've always thought that verse is interesting for your average Israelite or Jew. I'm following the law of God. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Now let's go commit fornication or adultery. Really? I've made my sacrifices and I've paid my vows. I'm following the law of Moses. Now let's go commit adultery. And you wonder if sometimes people do that today. Well, I went to church on Sunday morning, so I'm good. Now, it's Sunday night, and we're about to do something that's sinful. But, you know, I went to church this morning, so it's all good. She's coming off with this attire that she's got on that's would have been attractive for whatever that was at the time. She's advertising herself in verse 13 and 14 by being strong-willed, and she's coming on strong. Here's the girl that comes on strong, and she's coming off as religious, verse 14. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. Boy, this lady's really interested in me, but for all the wrong reasons. And I have found thee. I have spread my couch. Look at the advertising. I've spread my couch with carpets of tapestry, with striped clothes of yarn of Egypt. Wow, you come on in here, boy, it's going to look great. It smells great, looks great. Come on in. We're learning the principles. Don't fall for false advertising. I have perfumed my bed. It looks great and it smells great with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. I want you to underscore in your Bible the word love. That happens all the time today. Well, we're in love. Or let's make love. Or we want to have a love affair. This is the wrong kind of love. We need biblical love. But all kinds of sin is put under the word love all the time. That happens all the time. That's false advertising. Oh, it's love. And on top of that, it's going to smell good and look good. Don't fall for it. The devil wraps up sin in false advertising. He disguises sin. He's a deceiver. He's commonly described that way in the Bible. He deceived Eve, 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. He has apostles of light, verses 14 and 15. He deceives, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10. The deceitfulness of sin, Hebrews 3, 13. And the pleasures of sin. Moses did not go after the pleasures of sin even for a season. Don't fall for the false advertising. The devil's good at it. And he knows how to take sin and put a bow on it, wrap it up and put a bow on it, and make it look good and smell good, and it's still a sin. What's the fourth principle that comes out of this chapter? Well, we need to remember that God is always watching. It doesn't matter if mom and dad are not around, God still is. It doesn't matter if the boss is not around and the elders are not around and the preacher's not around and the policeman's not around. It doesn't matter. God is always around. He's always watching. And notice the line that she uses with this man. In verse 19, the man is not home. He's gone on a long journey. He taketh a bag of money with him. He will come home at the full moon. He's gone. Don't worry about it. We're good. Oh, really? Yeah, God is not gone. And so this fourth principle is very important. Because we get it in our minds sometimes, well, I'm going to do this because nobody's going to see me. I'm at home. And I'm just on my phone, and I'm in my room, and I'm on my phone, and mom and dad's, they can't, well, okay, but God is still seeing all of that. Or I'm on my computer, or I'm on my phone, or I'm just with this other person, and nobody else is around, we're way out here in the car somewhere, or we've gone out on a date, nobody's around. Okay, but God is. And we need to remember that. And that'll help us to avoid sin. It's very important. But look at the line that she uses as a part of this false advertising. You don't have to worry about anything. He's not here. You don't even have to sneak in the back door like they did from time to time. You don't even have to sneak in the back door. You just come right through the front door if you want. He's not here. Turn with me to Psalm 33. We need to remember some basic things. And if we remember that God is always here and God is always watching and looking, that will help us to avoid sin. It's much harder to commit a sin knowing that God is watching me and thinking about what I am doing here. Verse 13, Jehovah looketh from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looks forth upon all the inhabitants of the earth. That includes you and me. He that fashions the hearts of them all, that considers all their works. And the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, that it is as if we are naked and laid open before him with whom we have to do. Naked and laid open before God. What a great reminder that is. It is a principle that will help us not only to avoid sexual immorality, which is so prevalent today, by the way, but any other sin. And then, last of all, look with me, if you will, with verse 21 to the end of the chapter. The fifth principle is also very important, and that is that consider what's going to happen at the end of this road that we're traveling. We're traveling a road. We're on a road. And this road comes to an end somewhere, and it's not a good place where it comes to an end. There's a stopping off point. Okay? So look at what is said here. The focus now is on what's going to happen if you keep going down this road. What's the end result? In fact, one of the parallel accounts uses the word end, the end. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, there's your false advertising again, she causes him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forces him along. There's your false advertising. Boy, you add all of that in, the nice words, it smells great, it looks great, all this other stuff, it's very toxic. So she's speaking in a very flattering way. Look at verse 22. He goes after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter and as one in fetters to the correction of fools, till an arrow strike through his liver as a bird hastens to the snare and knows not that it is for his life. Now therefore, my sons, hearken unto me and attend to the words of my mouth. Again, we're not simply talking about God's revealed will through the Spirit-inspired words, but also inspired words that are based upon just practical experience that Solomon had with this and others do. Let not your heart decline to her ways, go not astray to her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Here's the end of the road. Yea, all her slain are a mighty host. Her house is the way to Sheol, or the grave, going down to the chambers of death. You need to consider carefully where you're headed and the consequences of your actions. That's not being taught today. Parents, we need to be teaching that there are consequences, good and bad, to all of our actions. Very important to teach. You're not going to learn that in school. In fact, in our society, it's kind of like, well, act like there's no consequences. Don't take any responsibility, no accountability, no consequences. Just live your life. Everything we do has some consequence to it, good or bad. And the proverb writer is saying, you're headed down this road. Yeah, you can stop by her corner at night, that's fine. But you're headed down a road, and you can go in there. Her husband's not going to be around, that's right. But you're headed down a road, and this is where you're headed. It's like an ox to the slaughter. Now, nothing may happen to us physically, but we're going to sin, and that's going to be a terrible thing. And with regard to sexual immorality, some people end up with sexually transmitted diseases and physical problems, that's true. But even if nothing ever happened like that, sin, that's what's at the end of that road. The wages of sin is death. It will pay out. Spiritual death. And in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we just go headlong like the bird going to the snare and like the ox going to the slaughter and like the man going to the grave. That's what's happening at the end of this road. And so if we will put this principle in our lives, hey, I'm about to do something. I'm about to think something, say something, do something. Put this principle in. Where is it going to lead me? And if it's going to lead you to no good place, then just don't even go down that road. What a great warning system Proverbs chapter 7 is for us today. And not just Proverbs 7, but the whole book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm so glad that people warn me about things. Weather, bad weather, serious tornado. I think they categorized it later as a category 3. That's a very serious thing. I'm glad that we have warnings where we can take cover. I'm glad that the mechanic just tells me, hey, you know, Mr. Rees, if you keep doing such and such, this is probably what's going to happen. I'm glad. And even in a bigger way, I'm glad that this Bible, this thing we call the Bible, is not just about the past. It's not just about history. It's a warning system. And it's such a great thing. And we don't have to repeat the same old sins that we see in God's Word. That's the beauty of God's Word. Read it in such a way as a warning system. There may be someone here this evening. We're going to offer the invitation if there is sin in your life. Maybe we did not apply these principles and now there's sin in my life. That can be washed away in baptism. Or as an erring child of God, you can come back and we can pray as you repent and confess that. When we don't apply these principles, we find that it's much easier to have sin in our life. So let's go out. Number one, always, always rely upon God's Word. Keep it close to you. Read it. Know it. Rely upon it greatly. Don't ever flirt with sin. Don't ever see how close you can get to something. Always, always stay away. Beware of false advertising. It's going to look great. It's going to smell great. It's going to sound great, but stay away from it. Remember, God is always watching. And be careful to consider the end of the road. Everything you and I do, everything, has a consequence one way or the other. Might be a bigger consequence or a smaller consequence, but there is always reaction to action. Action and reaction. Yep. So let's choose those good things as we go out this week. And be pleasing to the Lord. Let's apply these principles in our life. If you're here this evening and you need to respond to the gospel invitation, why won't you come as we stand and sing?